This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Jason Chaffetz.
I'm Rachel Campos Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, April 5th, 2024. I'm John Saucier. The earth was rumbling this morning in the tri-state area with a 4.8 magnitude earthquake, which struck in northern New Jersey. Millions of people feeling the earth trembling in a place where this doesn't happen all that often.
So every couple of decades, something of this kind of a size, the size where it's really felt. But if we get to the smaller ones, the magnitude threes or things like that, every 2 or 3 years you'll experience one of those.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
New York City really does have it all, including an earthquake on Friday morning. People in the Northeast are used to blizzards, but not really these seismic events. Luckily, despite this being a relatively strong earthquake, no major damage is being reported.
Compared to us out here in California, they're very rare.
Our guest today is Professor Patrick Abbott, professor of geological sciences at San Diego State University.
But on the other hand, the type of earthquake that you just felt, every few decades we get some. Remember 2011, back in Virginia, there was a 5.8 magnitude. So there you are, 13 years ago. So every couple of decades, something of this kind of a size, the size where it's really felt. But if we get to the smaller ones, the magnitude threes or things like that, every 2 or 3 years you'll experience one of those.
Okay, but for New York City, this one seemed really rare. And this affected not just northern New Jersey, where the epicenter was, but I felt it this morning in New York. I have an aunt who lives in Western Massachusetts. She sent me a text saying even she felt it. Why was this one so broad? I mean, so many states were impacted by this.
Well, two things here. Well, first off, the rocks in the eastern U.S. are much older. Those are rocks that were formed by tectonic plate collision of Africa with North America back there 450, 250 million years ago. And then that area was pulled apart once the big continent broke apart to open up the Atlantic Ocean. The main point of mentioning that is huge continental collisions and then a breakup and pulling them apart. What it's done is it's left a lot of ancient old weaknesses, planes, old fractures in the rocks. And even though you're not on an active fault like, say, the San Andreas in California, you have all these old fractures, weak points, that just the stress of being on a moving continent can cause things to rupture and break every once in a while.
So if that's the case, how come we don't have more earthquakes in the Northeast than on the East Coast?
Well, that's a good thing about having those rocks that are that old. That they're just sort of like on the West Coast. Maybe it's like having an open cut that's bleeding. And on the East Coast, it'd be like it's healed and it's tender. It's not going to rupture or put out as much blood as often as a fresh cut.
Got it. This earthquake, it seems like a fresh cut for us. So, I mean, again, my first time ever experiencing an earthquake. I know everyone around New York really was shocked and we weren't really sure what to do while this was all going on. You're used to these earthquakes. You're in San Diego, pretty big size city. What can we do to make sure we're safe in earthquakes? Like, can you give me some during earthquake tips?
Sure. You know, basically with the earthquake, obviously the ground is shaking. And that's very unsettling because you like to think the earth is solid and is going to support you. It doesn't shake. But the real danger is not the shaking beneath you. It's what we humans put over our heads, the chandelier on the ceiling, the very fact that you're in a building with stories above you, outside, trees, power lines can fall. The danger really is things falling on you and harming you. So what we like to say is when you feel the shaking, drop, cover, and hold on. If you're in your house, underneath the dining room table, grab a hold of the chair legs, make like a turtle, have a shell over you, let things fall while the shaking's going on, then come on out. So basically it's that. Protect yourself from falling objects. Don't run. Just seek a place where things cannot hit you.
I'm glad to hear these tips now, but for me, Professor, I live in a high rise. I was on a higher floor at the time, just laying in bed, minding my own business, when all of a sudden the entire building started shaking. I had no clue what to do. And I was worried because, I mean, who knows if these buildings are up to this and whatnot. What do you think about the newer buildings and high-rise buildings? I mean, New York City has so many skyscrapers, but it seems like there hasn't been a ton of damage. Is that supposed to be that way? I mean, are we to the point where we can build huge towers that remain safe despite these earthquakes?
We definitely have improved over the years. The building codes have changed, the structural engineers, the contractors, everybody has upped their act. If there's any good news from a big earthquake is that we learn lessons. We learn what went wrong, and then you try to change building codes to fix that. But specifically for somebody like yourself, there you are in a high-rise building, and if the danger is things that are falling on you, what you do not want to do is get up and run. Run out the door, run downstairs. Worst of all, you certainly don't want to get in an elevator that's liable to get stuck. So basically, you're there. So the point is then, where is the safest place right within your space when that starts? And again, that would be what I was mentioning earlier. It's probably the kitchen table or underneath a bunch of cushions or something or other that if things fall or literally off of shelves or thrown from shelves at you, that you're protected from them.
The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has advised people to look at their homes, look for any sort of damage, maybe check out gas lines. Can you give any tips for people who might be looking for damage and what specifically they should be looking for following this quake?
Yes, and you just mentioned some right there. One very significant one, the natural gas line. Seems like there's hardly a week goes by we don't hear about some house someplace that exploded when their natural gas accumulated and ignited. So certainly you want to check to make sure there are no gas leaks, that those pipes are good. And you also want to look for fractures. I don't expect a lot of them from a 4.8, but you want to see them because if there are fractures, whatever fracture is in that wall, it is now weaker than what it was before and probably would need some attention. And by the same token, for those things like some of the videos I've seen some things fall off of shelves. Well, if something fell off of your shelves, don't just pick it up and put it right back in the same place. Either put it down lower on the shelves or find something or some way to attach it where it's not free to fall. So again, it's tightening up your environment so that it's a safe, shatterproof, shall we say, setting that you're in.
There's an eclipse coming up on Monday, but on Friday, an earthquake popped up in New Jersey. It wasn't catastrophic by any means, but certainly strong enough to scare people who aren't otherwise used to this sort of thing. Today, we brought in an earthquake veteran. Patrick Abbott is professor of geological sciences at San Diego State University. A lot on the tectonic plate today, and we'll continue covering it all next. Well, they did conduct a ground stop at JFK Airport and also at Newark Liberty Airport over in New Jersey during this because, yeah, we need to look at our own homes, but also we're concerned about critical infrastructure. What types of things are officials going to be looking at damage-wise on big things like bridges, airports, and whatnot?
You know, the same things we were just talking about for looking at where you live, and that is cracks. For train tracks, they're notorious in earthquakes for bending those steel rails. Steel is strong, but it's also rather flexible. In other words, that's why we put it in the concrete in buildings so buildings can sway a bit. So a train track is very, very susceptible to being warped a bit. And obviously the train itself doesn't handle warps. So stop all trains immediately, please. Yes, I'm sure they're doing that. But I mean, check to make sure those rails are still straight and true. And for any of these kinds of structures, all first responders, I'm sure are out right now to check from the lists of vulnerable bridges, other buildings, the ones that are on the list for being most worrisome. They get out and check those. The sooner, the better. I don't expect a lot of damage from a 4.8, but you definitely need to take it seriously and inspect all vital infrastructure to see if anything did give way or suffer some damage that weakens them and makes them less reliable for the future.
Better safe than sorry, the policy there. Finally, Professor, I want to ask you about aftershocks. There's already been at least one reported in New Jersey. Are the aftershocks usually more powerful, less powerful, and how long can they last for?
That's a very interesting thing. And let me start with just this statement. You never have just one earthquake. Now, of course, our attention is caught by whatever the largest one is. But when you think about it, there was a rupture below the surface of the Earth. One side of the Earth moved several feet past another. That transmitted a lot of stress and strain to the adjoining rocks, thus causing them to trigger and move. What I'm trying to do in a long way here is show how obvious it is that you will have aftershocks. The surprising thing would be if you ever had an earthquake and did not have aftershocks. So what we're hoping is that they are just literally aftershocks. Once in a great while, and I don't think that's going to be the case here, what you just experienced was a foreshock, and the bigger one's coming later, like 2011 Japan. And I don't mean anything as big as what happened in 2011 Japan is going to happen in New York, New Jersey. But the point being, we can't tell the difference between a foreshock from a main shock, and always there will be aftershocks.
So we don't know what we don't know. The only thing we do know now, thanks to you, Professor, is how to stay safe. Professor Patrick Abbott, he is a professor of geological sciences at San Diego State University. I feel like I learned a lot just in this time of this podcast. Thanks for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.